Let's turn to Psalm 33. Psalm chapter 33. We want to read a verse out of this chapter to get us started tonight. I want to read verse number 12. It says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Last week, I entitled the lesson, "They Meant It for Evil, But God Meant It for Good." And we looked at how many of the Baptist preachers in those early colonies were imprisoned for preaching without a license. And while they hoped, that is, the enemies of the Baptist hoped that this would silence them, it had just the opposite effect. Their congregations would come and would assemble outside of the prison cells and preach, regardless of the attempts made by the magistrates to put an end to that. And it wasn't just their congregations that in the end came out, but there were many people who were intrigued by what was taking place and would come out to listen to the preaching as well. And there were multitudes of people saved. Many spiritual historians suggest that there were perhaps more people saved as a result of these imprisonments than there would have been had these men been allowed to go free. And so we looked at that thought last week, and I've entitled our lesson tonight, "The Blessed Nation." And so as we consider this topic, I want you to keep in mind what our text says. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But before we go any further, let's pray. Lord, bless this message as it goes forth tonight. Help us to indeed see the tremendous things that you accomplished in the past. And Lord, help us to be expectant and excited about the things that you can do in the present. And God, I pray that we would properly prepare ourselves to experience revival. Lord, I know that if we're ever to see revival in our midst, it's going to begin with us as your people humbling ourselves and seeking thy face and repenting of our sin. And so, God, I pray that we would be faithful to repent of our sin, our lust, our anger, our greed, our covetousness, our apathy towards the things of God. Lord, if you bring those things to our minds as we study American history. And I pray that you would prepare our church to experience a spiritual awakening. And so, Lord, use this message to that end. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Human history has went on for approximately the last 6,000 years. I know that many in our culture today suggest that the creation has been around much longer, billions of years. But there is just as much evidence to suggest, no, there's more evidence to suggest that the earth is young rather than it is old. And even those evidences that would seem to indicate that the earth is old probably only indicate that God created a mature creation. Just like when Adam was created, he didn't look like he was one day old. He looked like he was 30 years old, because he was fully mature. He was an adult. And so there are probably the same types of things seen in the rest of the creation. But human history has went on, if you believe your Bible, for approximately 6,000 years, give or take. 40 centuries after the promise of a Messiah was made, Christ was born into the world in Bethlehem in a manger. After his death, burial, and resurrection, and his commission to his disciples to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, there were attempts made to thwart that plan, and There was Roman persecution of the Christians for the next two centuries, which would then usher in a more lengthy time period of 10 centuries that we call nowadays the Dark Ages, where Roman Catholicism persecuted Bible-believing people and Bible-believing churches. And at the conclusion of the Dark Ages, Europe pretty much lay in filth, ignorance, famine, despair, pestilence, and barbarism. But after, and this is quoting Brother Grady, after 5,780 years of stagnant, dreary subsistence, everything was about to change. 180 years after Thomas Jefferson remarked about only being able to travel 3 miles per hour from Richmond, Virginia, to New York, commercial airlines were crossing the 3,600-mile-wide Atlantic Ocean in approximately 3 hours. Someone at work today was having some difficulty faxing a document, and that was because, you may or may not be aware of this, but now in the 812 area code here in Indiana, you have to dial the entire number. And we've been preparing that for months now at work, and they postponed the number of times, but on February 7th it went into full effect, and since there are multiple areas with the 812 area code now, you have to dial the entire number. And because of this, this individual was having great difficulty in getting their document faxed to its destination. And having already been studying on this particular topic, I said to them, well, just think about it. It was just a few decades ago that would have had to been delivered by horseback. Times sure have changed in the last 150 years, haven't they? Brother Grady suggests that there was two events that transpired between 1776 and 1790 that would reshape the world forever. The Revolutionary War and the passing of the Bill of Rights, the latter happening in 1790 and the former beginning in 1776. But may I also add, never forget what led up to those events. Because these events didn't happen in a vacuum. It wasn't like the colonists woke up on July 4th of 1776 and said, you know what? I think it's time for a change. No, this thinking and this process had been in the works for years. And had God not reshaped the thinking of multitudes of colonists through the Great Awakening and the persecution of the Baptist people, we probably never would have seen a United States of America. And who knows what the world would look like without this country. How does such blessings occur? How can a measly little 13 colonies revolt against the greatest army perhaps in the world at that time and win the war, secure their independence, and so quickly become the greatest nation in the world? Was it the result of reason? Had man's minds finally woke up? Had they been dormant for the last 5,800 years? And now all of a sudden there was some new type of enlightenment? Was it science? Did men finally break out their microscopes and test tubes in a way that they had never done before, which caused all the advancement that we saw take place in the last 2 centuries? Or was it God? Well, if you have childlike faith, the answer is very simple and very easy to discover, because the answer is found in our text. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Nation just refers to a group of people. How does a people become blessed? When they have God as their Lord. You see, God liberates man. Contrary to what humanists and atheists would like you to think, they think that God hinders man and hinders his progress. And that's why you can know that just the opposite is true. Because for the most part, whatever the atheists and the God-haters are saying about God, you can be assured that it's just the opposite. God liberates man. And before there was ever intellectual freedom, before there was ever economic freedom, there first had to be spiritual liberation. And when man was liberated, and not that the entire population of the colonies were saved and born again, but there was such a high percentage that had been born again, and others who had been influenced by God and the Bible, that it created a liberty in this country unparalleled to anything that the world had seen before then. Brother Grady, as he began to put information together in the preparation of his book, What Hath God Wrought, he, let me turn in his book here and I'll read you a portion of what he says. He says he was reading the April 1995 edition of Laissez-Faire Books. And as he read this particular edition, he said it sported an impressive heading across the top of its front cover, which said, "The world's largest selection of books on liberty." And he said it read like a who's who of conservatives. He says there were many patriotic and right-wing selections contained in this publication. Liberty versus the Welfare State. What Has the Government Done to Our Money? Challenging the Civil Rights Establishment. Capitalism and the Individual. Environmentalists. The Threat to Freedom. However, he says as he reviewed this ad in its entirety, he came across a section that gave another book entitled Atheism, The Case Against God. And it had it has a section, let's see what he says here, I think in that book or maybe in the advertisement. The following review was given in that edition. It said, "A comprehensive analysis and refutation of the arguments made over the centuries to prove the existence of God insists that reason," here's kind of the key phrase, "insists that reason, not faith, should be man's guide in all matters." And again, this is in a conservative publication. Brother Grady noticed the author of the book was George Smith, the so-called authority on American liberty. And he called the president of laissez-faire books and asked for an explanation. He pointed out the historical inconsistency between atheism and America's supernatural origins. He said he was politely informed that a significant number of their readers would disagree with his quote-unquote opinion. He says, but there was another historian whose books were also included in laissez-faire by the name of Alex de Cockleville, and in his classic book, Democracy in America, notice his take on America's history. He said, upon my arrival in the United States, the religious aspect of the country was the first thing that struck my attention. That may not be something that we can relate to, having lived here all of our lives and there being a church on every corner. That's not the case elsewhere. He went on to state, in France, I had almost always seen the spirit of religion and the spirit of freedom marching in opposite directions. But in America, I found that they were intimately united and that they reigned in common over the same country. He said, religion in America must be regarded as the foremost of the political institutions of that country. He said, in the United States, the sovereign authority is religious. There is no country in the world where the Christian religion retains a greater influence over the souls of men than in America. And here you had a contemporary of early American culture. He'd disagree with the opinions espoused by those at laissez-faire books and George Smith. But during that same conversation, Brother Grady was informed by the vice president of laissez-faire that willing to promote the right, that being libertarians, you know, and libertarian thinking, they were also willing to promote the rights of pornographers through such books as Defending Pornography by Nadine Strossen. And there is the suggestive Ain't Nobody's Business If You Do by Peter McWilliams. There's a subtitle to that book, The Absurdity of Consensual Crimes in a Free Society. In other words, if two consenting adults want to do it, whose business of it is yours? Brother Grady points out that George Washington probably would disagree with their approach because as the chief commander in the Continental Army, one of his first directives was to prohibit the men from profane cursing, swearing, and drunkenness. There certainly are a lot of people that want to deny the spiritual roots of America, but don't believe them. They're liars. They're not interested in the truth. They want to discount that the Bible and God had any role in America's greatness, as it justifies, at least in their minds, their unbelief. Brother Grady says, America is surely in a mess when a growing number of her political conservatives are apparently unashamed to promote the views of atheists and perverts. Likewise, he points out that there's many in this country today, and not just conservatives, but some preachers that are more concerned in recouping lost revenues from Big Brother than in regaining the forfeited blessings of a Heavenly Father. It's not surprising, I guess, that the humanists are unaware or reject the spiritual heritage of America. But boy, one of the saddest things that we see in this country today is the ignorance of Americans to the influence that Baptists and Baptist people played in our founding documents. I tell you, that's a subject, what I'm discussing here tonight is a subject I would like to give a lot of attention to. What made America so great so quick? What was it? Was it free market capitalism? Well, had this been the first place to ever try free market capitalism? I don't think so. Was it human reasoning? Were the men that founded this country that much more superior than those found around the rest of the world? Was it chance and luck? I think capitalism played a role. I think the Constitution played a role in America's greatness. But I think if you want to find the root of America's greatness, you have to turn to the Bible. And the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And I don't believe it was reason or intellect that made America great. I don't believe it was industry. I believe it was God. If this is so obvious, why are there so many who miss it? Brother Grady said a political climate was created here in the early colonies that would afford the local New Testament church its first official haven of unmolested opportunity. In other words, there had never been another time like this in the history of mankind. And it points back to one of our previous messages. If you want to look for America in the Bible, where do you look? Not the book of the Revelation, but the book of Genesis. The book of beginnings where God promised the enlargement of Japheth. And that enlargement in part occurred with the establishment of the United States of America. Brother Grady says, the high concentration of salt, religious righteousness, ensured that America's earliest leaders would exhibit a great reverence for God. You know, I've seen lists by the humanists that says, 10 most popular atheists, and they claim Albert Einstein and Thomas Jefferson and an assortment of others. Ben Franklin, atheist. These men were not atheists. Not a one that I just mentioned was an atheist. Not a one. They want to pretend all of our founding fathers were. Thomas Jefferson said this in his notes on the state of Virginia. He said, God, that's how it begins, God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that their liberties are of the gift of God? He might not have been a, Christian fundamentalist, but he certainly wasn't an atheist. He says, indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that His justice cannot sleep forever. Doesn't sound like an atheist to me. How about you? But you see, it was the spiritual climate in America that caused these men who may not have been born again children of God, but led them to have a reverence for God and the Bible and His people. if it is God that made this country great, and I believe it is, then what is the solution to making America great again? And I understand it still perhaps is the lone superpower in the world. But we rapidly see the state of our country declining. And you know, when a people turn from God, judgment doesn't come immediately. It comes over time. Slowly. You know the old adage, you put a frog in water, put him on the stove, turn up the heat. The increase in temperature is so slow that the frog never feels inclined to jump out until finally he's boiled to death. That's what happens when a people turns from God. They don't even realize that they have forfeited God's blessings. And one day things get so bad they wonder what happened. You remember when the Spirit of God came into the temple, He resided there over the Holy of Holies. And the people had sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned, and finally God said, you know what, it's time for me to leave. And He went to the outer court and He waited. But nobody seemed to know that He was gone. Then He went to the east gate there in Jerusalem and waited, and nobody seemed to notice that He had moved further away. And then He went back to heaven. And nobody paid any attention. That's a sad thing. And that's what's happened in America. God's not welcome in public life. He's not welcome in the schools. He's not welcome in government offices. Now anymore, He's not welcomed in places of business. How bad does it have to get before Christians wake up and say, hey, something's wrong? But it's not my intent through this series of lessons to discourage you, but to encourage you. Little by little and step by step, if we inch closer to God, just like those colonists did during the Great Awakening, there's no telling what God can do. It's not outside of the realm of possibilities that we see another great revival before Jesus comes. But perhaps it all hinges upon us and what we do. So let's make sure that we're ready for revival and take the steps that we need to take to secure God's blessing on our nation again. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Lord, I believe it is just as simple as our text exclaims, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Lord, we want You to be our God, our Lord, our Savior, our King. We want You to lead us. We want You to guide us. And Lord, we know that it's Your desire to lead us into green pastures. It's Your desire to take us and lay us beside the still waters, to cause our cup to run over. Lord, for that to occur, You need to be our shepherd. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that's not saved, help them to be born again. And those of us who are saved, Lord, might we not stray as sheep are so prone to do, but instead, might we stay close by Thy side. God, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our lust, our greed, our selfishness. Forgive us of our apathy. Help us to again be concerned about spiritual things and about the souls of men and women. give us a burden. Awaken our hearts and minds. Lord, begin a revival. Begin it in our hearts and in our church. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed for prayer.